Well, good morning. We're glad you're with us today. We are charting a new study today, the born-again life. The born-again life, which we're going to talk about in the sense of people not understanding or not knowing what that means. You hear that all the time. Books have been written about it, born again, be born again. You hear that all the time, don't you? But we want to dig into it a little deeper and to find out what does this mean from what Scripture says about being born again. What does it mean, first slide says, what does it mean to be born again? We get that statement from the next slide, which is John chapter 3. If you have a Bible handy, John chapter 3 is where this all comes from. And it's talked about other places in Scripture, but it's also but in those other places, it's filled out a little more. What does it mean to be born again? Well, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. I would think that's pretty important to know what that means, right? He said, you know, you can't be a Christian. You can't be in the kingdom. You can't even see the kingdom. You won't participate in the kingdom. You won't experience the kingdom unless you're born again. Can you imagine you drive over the river here and you drive over that bridge and you happen to look out. You better do it quickly because there's a lot of traffic, you know. But you happen to look out and see the Washita River and you keep going. All those animals, fish, critters down in that river, swimming around, finding something to eat. You may have some concept of what that is. If you've been fishing much, you know kind of what that is. But does that fish in there understand you and your automobile and that bridge and why all that noise is going on up there? They have no clue because that's not their world. You can be as religious as you want to be, and you can be a churchgoer, and you can say you believe Jesus, and you can say that you plan to go to heaven. But Jesus here said, if you're not born again, we'll talk about what that means in a minute. If you're not born again, forget it. You're not going to see the kingdom. You won't experience that world. Anybody that's been born again will tell you it's different. It's not like just being a religious person. It's not like just going to church. I mean, it's different. Something inside you is different. You change. You transform. You're into. I think probably the world. That's why the world and many believers don't have much interest in church, because they don't see it. It's a world, like that fish. It's a world that they do not understand. They don't grasp why you would come. Why you would be involved? Why would you read your Bible? Why would you? Because the world doesn't honor any of that. What does it mean to be born again? He said here, if you don't have that, you can't even start. So look at John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, sometimes called the Sanhedrin, but it was about 70 men. It was basically their senate, their ruling body for religion and for local law. Nicodemus, one of those guys, came to Jesus at night, verse 2, and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God. Well, that's a big statement, isn't it? Because the Pharisees and the ruling council didn't like Jesus very much, especially as his ministry got started to unfold. They called him a blasphemer. They said he's doing what he's doing by the demons, by demon power. And so this is an unusual statement for this man to make. He says, we know, some of us realize, you're a teacher come from God. No one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus declared, look at this. I often wondered why Jesus, he didn't even acknowledge what the man said. He didn't say, thank you. He didn't say, that's good. You believe in me. He didn't say, well, let's talk about it. What did he say? He jumped immediately to this text on the screen. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Why did he go there? Why did he not? Sometimes we know what Jesus said in the book of John about himself. He said, I don't say anything that I don't hear my Father say. He said, my teaching is not my own. I didn't make this up, he said. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the Father who sent me. So somewhere in there, I suspect the Father said to Jesus, talk about this. And he was prompted by the Spirit to talk about what? Being born again. Was Nicodemus a religious man? A well-known religious man. Out of all the thousands of people who lived in Israel, he was appointed to the top 70. Well-known religious man. And he told Nicodemus, you're not even there. You're not even at the starting line yet. How can a man be born when he's old? Verse 4, Nicodemus asked. Surely he can't enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. People wonder, was that baptism water or is that? I don't think so, because look at the next sentence. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Is there water involved in a flesh birth? He said, you got to be born on this earth first. Then he says, you got to be born of water and the spirit. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're a human being born. And you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you've experienced the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit, the spirit, or spirit gives birth to spirit. Does flesh give birth to flesh? Flesh parents have a flesh baby. And sometimes the baby looks like the parents a little bit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Nicodemus had said, well, what is all this about being born again? You can't be born again. He said, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spirit birth. Spirit gives birth to what? Spirit. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Now, you have a spirit, or you wouldn't still be alive, but there's something in there that had to be fixed. That spirit, the Holy Spirit, touches your spirit, and something comes alive. Something in there comes alive. He said, that's got to happen to you. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You know, wind and spirit are the same word. Same idea in Greek, actually. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Would you like to be born of the Spirit today? Would you like to be born of the Spirit if you're not already? What did he say? Well, it's like the wind blowing. And we talk about how much damage a hurricane does, or we had a tornado come through here and took off part of our roof several years ago. And I walked out back. There are a lot of trees out back. And some of those huge trees just got snapped off halfway up. Pine trees, big, snapped off halfway up. Is the wind powerful? We say, well, it's just the wind. It's just air. Oh, it can be powerful. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And Nicodemus said, how can that happen? He said, you don't see everything about it. What you see is the result. Were the trees snapped off the result of something? I didn't see the wind come through, but it sure did a number on those trees in this building. So the spirit action, you don't see it. You don't see it visibly. You don't see it with these eyes or hear it with these ears. You don't see it visibly. But all of a sudden, a person changes. And they're just different now. They're just different. And it's a quiet change for the most part. And I know there's Acts chapter 2 and the noise and all of that. But that was a different thing. That was the beginning of all of this spirit coming into the church. But the Spirit moves in ways you cannot see. You can't write it down and say, I saw with my eyes the Holy Spirit come and do this. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. You should not, verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Born again, because the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, you can't tell where it comes from, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Had Jesus seen the heavenly realms? Did Jesus know the Spirit before he came to earth? Of course he did. He said, I'm telling you what I know about. What do I know about? I've spoken to you about earthly things you don't believe. You see, the new birth, where does the new birth take place? Not on some asteroid somewhere. Where does it take place? In you, on the earth. It's got to happen on the earth before you get to heaven, hasn't it? It's got to happen here on the earth. Verse 11, I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, so the Spirit, being born again, has to take place on earth, doesn't it? Because you have to be born in the flesh and then born by the Spirit. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. That's Jesus, right? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. How do you get it? You believe in him. He's the key to it. For God, verse 16, for God so loved the world. You've heard that one, haven't you? Look at the context. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, or only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And he goes on talking about that. So did Jesus think being born again was crucial and essential? Essential. Now, a lot of Christians sitting up in churches today don't understand that because they think, well, I don't know. I had a lady say to me one time, I've always been in church. I was raised in church as a child. I went to church. I was happy to do it. I grew up. I kept going. I still go to church. And she said, but I don't know that I've ever been born again. I just never had any kind of an earth-shaking experience. Does it have to be an earth-shaking experience? It wasn't with me. It was just a realization. It was like, oh, it's that aha moment, isn't it? He's Lord. He's Lord. And then what happens? Are you automatically a different person right then? Not necessarily. It sometimes takes a while. Some of y'all say he's still working on me, isn't he? I'm glad he's working on you, preacher, because you need some help. You know, is he constantly working on us from the inside out? Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom, that's on the slide there, unless they're born of God. Let me give you some other translations. Easy to read version, you like that one? Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Contemporary English says, I tell you for certain that you must be born from above. From above, before you can see God's kingdom. The Lexham English Bible is very accurate. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born from above, he is not able to see. He's not able to see the kingdom of God. The Message Bible, you're absolutely right, Jesus said. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to, the kingdom of God. There's one called the New Testament for Everyone. It says, let me tell you the solemn truth, replied Jesus. Unless someone has been born from above, they won't be able to see God's kingdom. Most of the translations, or many of the translations, have born from above. If you look it up, that's basically what it is. Born again, or born from, literally the Greek says, from the top. You have to be born from the top. You have to be born from another place. You got a flesh birth, yeah, you need another birth. You need a birth from God. You need a birth from the Spirit. You need a birth from the heavenly realms. Something happens to you, and all of a sudden you don't go to church because you feel like you have to. You go to church because you eagerly can't wait till you get here. Because I want to see my people. And I want to be encouraged. And I want to be with this group. There's another one here. Young's Literal. This is right straight out of the Greek, and it's clumsy, but here's what it says. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily. You know what those words are in Greek? They come right out of the Hebrew. Amen. Amen. Now, we usually put it at the end of a prayer, but sometimes Jesus put it at the beginning of a statement. Amen means truly, or verily, or may it be so. It is so. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say to thee, if anyone may not be born from above, he is not able to see the reign of God. You just can't see it. You hear about it. You hear people talk about it. You might even read about it. But unless you're born again, it makes no sense to you. Well, look at the next slide. I'm going to give you some scriptures here if you want to write these down. I'm not going to have time, obviously, to get them all. Talk about them very much. John 1, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, this is John writing about Jesus the Messiah. Yet to all who received him, all who did what? Received him. I saw a post the other day that said, the Bible doesn't say you received Jesus. Well, it just said it here. Watch these posts where people say, well, the Bible never says this. And I used to say things like that. And then you read the Bible and it ruins a lot of Facebook posts, doesn't it? Because it says right here, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who gave us the right to be born again? Who gave us the right to be children of God? Jesus did. It says it here. If you receive him and you believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision. That's the flesh birth, isn't it? Not of human decision, not of a husband's will, but born of God. God does the new birth in you. How does he do the new birth in you? When you receive Christ as Lord and you say, he's my Lord, I follow him, you receive him, and you believe on his name. His name means his work, what he did, his the fact that he is the Son of God, that he's deity. That you receive him, and the birth then happens. When babies are born of the flesh, they didn't have a lot to do with that, right? It's like they were sort of along for the ride. They get conceived, and then they start growing in mother's womb, and then they just about the time they get comfortable in 9 months, here you go, you got to come out. I don't want to come out. Some of them don't like to come out, right? They come out crying. So when you're born again, it's not something you do. It's something you yield to. It's something you ask for. It's something you receive from Jesus. And then it happens. It doesn't happen like it knocks you down on the floor necessarily, but it's something that happens to you, and you start thinking differently. Now, it doesn't mean everything's cleared up for you. It means you started away. When a baby is born of the flesh, they've got the equipment. They don't know how to use it, do they? Fingers, toes, their arms flopping, their legs kicking. They can't talk, and they can't feed themselves, and all they know to do is cry when they need something. And so in the new Christian, the new born-again person, you're going to experience that. You're going to be learning. There's some folks who've been in the faith a long time, never got born again, because they think of their experience with God as a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts, and a religion. I got to keep my life straight, which is a good thing to do. But being born again, you start serving from the heart, not because you're afraid of hell. You start serving from the heart, not because you think you have to be a good church member. It gets you on the inside. He gave the right to become children of God, born of God. That's John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. The next slide. I like this one, 1 Peter. 1 Peter has an amazing statement or two in here. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Page 1865 in my Bible. Oh, that won't help much with it. Well, did you know your Bible has a table of contents? And I'm glad they do. I'm glad it does, right? Because sometimes you can't find these things. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ! ! In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. In his what? Mercy. See, you yield and he gives it to you. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. He's not going to give you the new birth if you don't want it. If you don't want it, he's not going to force it on you. But he said, you'll never see the kingdom of God unless you have it. So this says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, in his great mercy he's given us, what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by the power of God until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. What is he saying? He gave us new birth into a living hope by the resurrection. Did Christ buy it for us? Is it bought and paid for? I get from this, as you look at these passages, first of all, he's not going to force it on you if you don't want that. You don't have to have it. But if you say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe everything about you the Bible says, everything the Bible says about you. I know you're the Son of God. I know you're the Messiah. I know you're coming back one day for us. I know that you have cleansed all of my sin by the cross. I know all these things are true about you. And I believe all that, and I receive you. I receive you as Lord. A lot of times we rush it. You know, we rush through these things, and I just say Jesus is Lord, and we'll baptize you in water, and then watch their Christian life. It's a sad fact, but you see sometimes a little animal born, and they don't survive. Sometimes you see people that try to get born again, they don't survive. Why don't they survive? Jesus is not Lord in their life. They're still running the show. They're still running the show. And Jesus is more like a mascot. He's like our mascot. I believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe about him? That's the question, right? What do you believe about him? Does he run your life, or do you run your life and ask him for help? That's different. That's different. Running your own life and asking him for help once in a while is not being born again. Being born again is he's in charge. He's it. I get my orders from him. I spend my time meditating on his words, and I do what he wants me to do. 1 Peter. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I got to hurry. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again. See, Jesus is not the only one who said that. This is Peter talking, by the Spirit, of course. 1 Peter 1, 23. For you have been born again. If you go back to verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. If you're born again, what happens? You love the people of God, right? You love outsiders too, but you really, this is your family, right? For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. How do you get born again? The Word gets implanted in you. People who are not born again don't have any time for the Bible. They just don't. Well, I can't understand it. Well, the Spirit will help you understand it, right? If you ask. I can't. It's too big. I don't know. I don't like to read anyway. Jesus could say, I didn't like to die on the cross either, but I did. I mean, where is it where we get to something that costs us a little effort and a little work, we back off? But I just don't like to do that. Well, sorry. But if you want to get to the part, the good part, you have to go through the other, right? You have to go through a little bit of discipline. We're going to talk about that more later, another sermon or two. When you're born again, you have some assignments if you want to maintain that new birth. Discipline is part of it. 1 Peter 1:23, what did he say? You, believers, have been born again of what kind of seed? Imperishable. Never rots. This word, Jesus said, this word will last forever, right? My word will never pass away. So this is not, isn't it amazing people try to destroy the Bible and talk about how it's not relevant for today, 2,000 years later. Actually, if you count the Old Testament, 4,000 or 5,000 years, this Bible is still changing lives 2,000 years after Jesus was raised from the dead. Don't tell me there's not something in this book. There's something alive in this book. This book is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, the Word of God is. So he says here, you're born again. Some of these people, like the ones Peter knew, all they heard was a sermon. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament yet. Had not been written yet. Not all of it. And they heard a sermon. And that sermon said, we're here to tell you about a man we know. We were with him. And we saw him raised from the dead. And he's the Son of God. And he came to die for the sin of the world. And that word, that little bit of word, people said, I want that. Tell me what to do. They were born of this imperishable seed. So you cannot really be born again and maintain it without having a tight connection to this book, this word. It's got to be there. I'm sorry if you don't like to, if you didn't like to study. I'm sorry if you don't understand it all. God will help you understand it, right? You won't get a perfect understanding until you get to heaven. So, is it imperishable seed? How many farmers would like to have that kind of seed? Plant 100 bushels of soybeans and make a lot of money. And then you get ready to harvest the crop, and there are your seeds. Oh, the seeds all survived. I'll plant them again next year. This is an enduring seed. This, the Word of God, is the seed, so it's what he's talking about. Next slide has 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John 2, there are a lot of scriptures here, so you may want to write some of these down. 1 John 2, 29, the next one. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Now, you're going to see this a lot in 1 John. He keeps talking about born of God. Born of him. Born of God. Are we God's children? Okay. How do you get to be a child of a flesh family? You get born. You get born. They celebrate your birthday and you say, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just a victim. I'm just a victim. Here I am, you know. Born again. Born of him. Born by God. God's the one who birthed you. He birthed you into the kingdom of God if you're willing. You don't have to do it, but if you're willing, he'll do that. That was 1 John 2:29, right? I got some more 1 John scriptures. Let me just get them quickly because our time's up. 1 John, the next slide is 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. He didn't say we don't ever make a mistake or sin. You don't live in it. You don't continue to sin. That's like an addict getting free of drugs, right? They become born again, and they don't continue to do that. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. God's seed. Well, what did Peter say the seed was? Word of God. Seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. Your life changes. Next slide. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been, you see it, don't you? What does it say? Born of God. Who birthed you in the spiritual sense? God did. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How do you get into it? Christ brings it to you. You accept him, you receive him, you believe in him, and he'll give you the new birth. You will be born again. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Next slide, 1 John 5, verse 4. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. That's why so many Christians have a problem with the commandments. It's like, it's too burdensome. Not if you're born again. If you're born again, you love what God tells you. You follow it, don't you? Next slide is 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin, and the one who was born of God, that's Jesus, right? Was he the Son of God? Mm-hmm. Are we the children of God? Born again? Why? Because he's born. He's the Son of God. We're born into that same family. He was born of God, and so are we. The one born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm. That's a big statement. The evil one what? Can't touch you. Can't touch you. A lot of Christians have fear problems, but this says, if I'm born again, look at it again. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, safe from the devil's work, sin. And all what the devil is doing keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. That's a big statement, isn't it? Is it true? Is it true? Yes. If it's in the Word, it's true. It's true. Don't worry about what the devil can do. He can't do anything if you're born again and you stay close to Jesus, because he doesn't want to mess with Jesus or his angels or the Holy Spirit, for sure. Okay, what was that one? 518, huh? 518. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Yeah, the next one is Peter's born-again experience. If you want to know what born-again looks like, let's talk about Peter for a minute. I put up here his denial, Matthew 26. We read a little bit of it a while ago. Look at Matthew 26 for a minute. This is important. I know we got things to do, but Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and toward the end of the chapter. 69. That's a lot of verses, hasn't it? 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You are with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow is with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I swear, I don't know the man. I don't know the man." Verse 69, he denied it once in verse 70, didn't he? And then it comes down, verse 72, he denied it again, said, "I don't know the man." After a little while, verse 73, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." He didn't have a southern accent, he had a northern accent, because he was from the north, right? Then he began to, look at this, call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, "I don't know the man." And then the rooster crowed. And he remembered. And he went out and wept bitterly. Did Peter need to be born again? He did. Look at the next slide on that slide there. We looked at the denial. Look at the spirit. When did, and this, some may disagree with this, but I'll do my best to show it to you in Scripture, but John chapter 20, the Spirit came. This is after the cross, John chapter 20, after the cross and after the resurrection, verse 22. John chapter 20, verse 22. Well, verse 21, he's met with his disciples after he's raised from the dead. Do you know that? He met 40 days off and on with them and ate with them and raised from the dead. And he taught them some more about the kingdom of God. And it says, verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet in the sense of coming on the day of Pentecost, but I think he gave them the first dose in a way. He said, did he say to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? What does that mean? Let him come in and work with you. Do you think they did that? I think they did that. Could you say... I don't think it's a stretch. Could you say Peter was then born again? Something happened to Peter. He was dragging around. We saw in John's gospel later on where Jesus said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter got hurt about that. But look at the next line, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. You will see the effect or the result of Peter's born-again experience. Isn't that something that he could walk with Jesus 3.5 years and yet the Spirit was not available to him? The Bible says the Spirit was with them but not in them. And so Acts chapter 2 and verse, what was it, 14? Acts 2. Who preached the first gospel sermon? Peter did, right? Preached about Jesus. Peter stood up with the 11, verse 14. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk. They're only, as you suppose, only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Then he talks about that prophecy. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Nobody in that crowd could have said, we don't believe in the miracles of Jesus. Everybody knew he was a miracle worker many times over. They just didn't like him because he wasn't of their kind, of their Pharisaical religion. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Wow. Does Peter have some courage now? He's looking at a big crowd of people, the same ones that hollered, crucify him, crucify him. And Peter figures, I might be next, but I'm going to say this because the Spirit has now moved on him, and he's born again, and he has the courage. Oh, we need some believers in this world with some courage who will stand up and speak for Jesus when nobody else will. Well, it takes born-again energy to do that. You've got to be born into a new kind of relationship to God to do that. If you're sin sick and weary of failing and weary of failing God, you just say, Lord, I receive you and I need what you have for me. I want to be born again. You say, but we're already Christians. Okay. My daddy used to joke about that. He said one time, just sitting in a garage won't make you a car. And sitting up in church won't make you a Christian, will it? You need to be in church, don't you? And hear things and experience things. Born again. Lord, I need to be born again. Or if you have been born again in the past and you let it lapse and you let it slide and you... I want you to think about that this week. Pray about that this week. I'm not going to necessarily do an altar call right now, but something we need to be thinking about. Where do you want to wind up one day? How do you want your life to end? What's on the other side? How do you want to transition into the next world? Is there any better time than right now to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need to be born again. I need to be born again. Can we pray about that? Is it good to pray about that? Last slide, we're going to pray about these folks in this notebook. But while I'm doing this, I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to say, Lord, if it's me and I'm wrong, please show me. If it's me and I'm wrong, please, I receive you, Jesus. I believe in you. I know it's right. And I just need your help. I want to be able to see the kingdom of God clearly. Are you going to pray that while I'm praying? Father, I ask you that as everyone is praying today, that you're doing business with them. You're working on our hearts. You're working on our hearts to help us experience what you want us to have. We know that your Spirit is here to help us. He is the comforter, the counselor, the one who will teach us all things. We ask you, Father, as we are contemplating right now our own relationship with you, help us, Father, sharpen it, strengthen it, cause us, if any in here are not really born again yet, that they'll get that right now today. And we understand, Father, from your word, baptism's involved in that. We can take care of that, but right now it's the heart issue. It's the heart issue of saying to you, Father, we yield, Lord Jesus. We yield, Lord Jesus, to you. We receive you, and we follow you, and we believe in you, and we want everything you have for us. And we ask you to help us do that. For all of the folks in our notebook, we are so grateful, Father, that we've had several answers just this past week. Two precious people accepted the message and were baptized in water. We have several others in that notebook that you have answered this, our prayers for them. We continue to pray, Father. We know you don't have to be begged. You're not reluctant to save anyone. It's just that people don't understand and they won't ask you for anything. And so we're standing in their place and we're asking on their behalf. Asking on their behalf, Father. They want to invite you in, but we're inviting you in. And I know when you get an open door, you go in. Just like with Lydia, we read about in the book of Acts. As soon as Paul spoke the word to her, you opened her heart. And she accepted and believed the gospel. So thank you, Father, that you're working on all the names in this book right now. For us, as we close this out, Father, as we do this, that I just trust in you to help us all grow in our understanding of the born-again life. We ask you, Father, to help us, if we're not yet there, that your Spirit will cause a new birth in us today, that whatever you need to do with us, we submit to it now. In Christ's name, amen.